The Great Lakes Folk Festival starts tomorrow night in East Lansing. This longtime mid-Michigan event features traditional arts, dance, culture, and music from around the world. And WKAR's Current State will broadcast live from the festival tomorrow night. Today we hear from one of the musicians who will perform this weekend. Lee Murdoch is one of the foremost interpreters of Great Lakes folk music, and WKAR's Melissa Benmark asked him what drew him to the music of our region.
When I decided to become a folk singer as a career, I thought it's important to sing about where you were from. Being from the Great Lakes region, it was a natural for me to sing about things that, farming and that type of thing. And, industrial manufacturing, the Rust Belt, however you want to characterize it. But then I came across this amazing set of songs that were collected by folklorists, a number of them, about sailing on the Great Lakes and how it was such, at one time, a very, very vibrant industry, that of shipping. Well, you know what? It still is. It's huge. We just don't think about it. And I was intrigued by that. The fact that, I grew up felt like I was connected, with a lot of things historically and stuff, and I just didn't understand the role that what I call the freshwater highway played, this amazing body of water, the Great Lakes region. So that's what I do, is embody some of those songs that were collected traditionally from the mid to late 19th century, and then I also will write some songs about our history. And from the perspective of a vibrancy as opposed to just, this is a dusty old story, and trying to inject the human element into it. Now, not remaking history, trying to be as accurate to the story as possible, but just giving it a human side. The other part of the role, if people come to a Lee Murdoch concert, is the role that I play in also covering other songs that were written by other people. This is what I say is important, in the fact that there are other people that are doing this too, and you need to know about that. So it's kind of cultural information.
Did you spend time around the lakes as a child? Was there any kind of sparking of your imagination by being around them?
Well, what was interesting for me as a child, I grew up in the Chicago metropolitan area, relatively near the Fox River. We had a pond in our area. But it wasn't something that was necessarily second nature to me, the way somebody who, lived right along Lake Michigan would, think about. And so, therefore, whenever I came in contact with Lake Michigan or Lake Erie, which were the ones that were early on in my age, these were awe-inspiring bodies of water, and I never took them for granted. And I can say that they're still mesmerizing to me today. That is the allure for me. You look out across this expanse, and they call this a lake, and you can't see anything but water. There are places, many places out on the lakes where you're in the middle of it, and you can't see anything but water, So that is pretty profound.
When did you first encounter Lake Superior, which to me has that real sense of being beautiful and real dangerous, too?
Yeah. The first time I saw it was as a youngster. We were traveling from northern Wisconsin through Sault Ste. Marie, and we went up along the lake shore. Actually, we were traveling east to the East Coast, but by way of Canada. And it was almost the same feeling that I had when I first saw Lake Superior that I had when I saw the Grand Canyon for the first time. It was your understanding of beauty keeps unfolding and unfolding and unfolding, and the difference in the water and how the curvature of the earth is, you can see. And you just keep taking this information in, like on a hot, hot day, you can't get enough of cold water. And that's kind of what it does to my psyche.
Part of the appeal of Great Lakes maritime music, I think, is that there's always this inherent drama because it is so huge and so beautiful, but there's also that element of danger. And you've done some shipwreck music yourself, including a song about the Carl Bradley. What pulled you into wanting to write about that?
Well, the people's response to the loss. Roger City, Michigan is not the same city it was before November 18th, 1958, when many of her sons went down with a Bradley. And it's that personal sense of loss and then, therefore, the remembrance that affects everybody's lives. I mean, look what happened when Hurricane Sandy came through the East Coast. This is such a devastating storm, amazing storm, that also touched the maritime community in a very, very profound way with the loss of the HMS Bounty. It's that the way an event like that touches people is what draws, throughout history, those songs to the forefront. Now, that said, I can't do 7 or 8 shipwreck songs in the course of a set because, you know, you have to talk about all different aspects of the work along the Great Lakes region. And so I talk about life-saving service and sing about it and about, you know, fishermen and cooks and all different types of, you know, safe passages, songs that, like the War Line, which were used by African-American stevedores back before the Civil War and up through the 1870s or so when they were loading the copper and the iron, the smelted iron, loading or unloading off the vessels for Samuel Ward of Marine City, Michigan. So it's that type of connection with the past and reclaiming of the past that I think is the role that I play so that we can know where we've been and have a sense of place.
You do a lot of work-type songs of the Great Lakes, and I was thinking, just wondering what it would be like to be in a workplace where you voluntarily, not as some, you know, kind of cringe-inducing team-building exercise, but voluntarily sung with every day the people that you work with. What's your take on that?
My take is that it made the work easier, so why not? And not every vessel did they have work songs on. You know, there are probably as many chain gangs down in the penal system of yesterday throughout the country that didn't have guys singing along. You know, it was all to the discretion of the people who were in charge. It seemed to be that the songs that were sung aboard those ships, mind you, this was not military ships because that was not allowed, but on the merchant vessels, they seemed to get more work done. It was an opportunity to actually physiologically, by singing, you're actually able to get more energy and sustain it longer, you know, through the control of breathing and the sense of timing that everybody's working together. So when you're hauling on that halyard, that sail jumps, you know, 3.5 feet instead of 2 feet because you got that extra energy because everybody's pulling all at the same time as opposed to slapping their hands on the halyard trying to make sure that it goes up nice and tight.
Oh, they call me a hangin' Johnny. Hooray, boys, hooray. Oh, they call me a hangin' Johnny. So hang, boys, hang. Oh, hang and haul together.
One of the examples of that is I, on aboard the Manitou out of Traverse City, one of the first times I really used this song in this capacity, it was the song called Hangin' Johnny, which is all they call me, Hangin' Johnny, and then everybody sing, hooray, boys, hooray. And then I'll sing, oh, they call me Hangin' Johnny, so hang, boys, hang. So on hooray, boys, hooray, hooray on who you're hauling, hooray, boys, hooray, you're hauling. So there's 4 pulls in every verse.
Hooray, boys, hooray. Oh, they says I hangs for money. So hang, boys, hang.
That sail jumped up the mast and didn't even have to be seated in, what they call sweating in the sail, where you just do a couple pulls by. It just went right up in place, and made the lines fast, and I asked the captain about it. I said, I've never seen it going up like that before. And that's the living history, you see. That's the software that went with that work. That's the way I look at it.
That must have really kind of blown your mind to see that happening.
Yeah, it was unbelievable, you know. When you see that happen the first time, and every sailor, you know, everybody who has worked aboard a sailing vessel of some type, whether it's a small, you know, little pleasure craft, a little sloop, or whether it's a square rigger, you know, there's always that sense of magic when the sail fills and all of a sudden you feel the deck beneath you surge and singing helped that go along.
Well, Lee Murdoch, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.
And we're always happy to get your feedback here on Current State, complimentary or otherwise. Listener Janelle Cannon responded to our recent interview with Okemos' Dennis Forsberg. We spoke with Mr. Forsberg just before he began serving a 3-year federal prison sentence for launching what he thought was a legal marijuana business. Ms. Cannon writes, I listened with my mouth open, I'm sure, at the complete lack of justice, intelligence, and integrity of the federal officials. This is a perfect and sad example of corrupt power over the people, maybe not in a legal sense, but certainly in a moral and economic sense. And Dr. Bertram Caron emailed us to comment on a segment on schizophrenia with Dr. Alexander Johnson of the MSU Psychology Department. He feels there were two wrong impressions created by the interview. One, that schizophrenia is incurable. He says schizophrenics regularly get better with treatment. And the second is that medication alone is adequate treatment. He maintains it is not. Dr. Caron is an MSU professor emeritus of clinical psychology. Never hesitate to share your thoughts with us, regardless what you think. We're at currentstate@wkar.org. Well, as you heard a minute ago, the Great Lakes Folk Festival is coming up this weekend, and we are excited about broadcasting live from the Folk Festival. Tomorrow evening we'll be live between 6 and 7 o'clock. We hope you're looking for us. We'll be looking for you. We'll be speaking with artists, festival organizers, musicians, all that and more live tomorrow evening between 6 and 7 from the Great Lakes Folk Festival.